Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Sweet hour of prayer, and it is a sweet hour when we spend time in prayer. All right, let's open God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. And again, the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity we have to come together, open the Word of God, and see what You have to say to us, Father. We pray now Your Spirit will open our eyes to everything You would have us to see in this passage. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Greetings. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, verses 1 through 8, Paul did a discussion on all that God has done and given these believers and blessed these believers in Corinth. Now, you don't have the word saved or salvation, but you have such words as sanctified, called, confirmed, and so wonderful words that can are used to explain our salvation. Then we have the grace given to them, teachers, in all spiritual gifts. And now in verse 10, he's going to go into what they did with all of these wonderful blessings, but we have to finish up verse 9. Now, verse 9, chapter 1, God is faithful. And we looked up the last 2 weeks on the faithfulness of God. I want to get the work on tribulation out into just a little pamphlet form, nothing really dramatic, but nevertheless get it out. But I'm going to have to add a point that we did not do when we studied the tribulation. That is a whole point. We noted the faithfulness of God in it, but a whole point on the faithfulness of God. Okay, our passage then says in verse 9, God is faithful through whom, that is through God the Father, you were called. The one who calls us in this passage is God the Father. Now, this is an aorist, passive, indicative of the verb kaleo, K-A-L-E-O, which is the normal word to call. But let's take a look at the structure. The aorist tense, completed action of the calling of God. He calls, as we're going to see, through the gospel. And the passive voice, always remember the passive voice, denotes an outside agent as well as the subject receiving, but it also emphasizes an outside agent. The agent is God the Father. We receive by grace the calling. The indicative mood is the reality of being called by God. So let's take up a few things, not very long here, just 4 or 5 points on calling. Not a long study on it, but just a couple of points on it. One, we are called by God. Whenever God the Father and Jesus Christ are mentioned together, origination is ascribed to, being the origin is ascribed to the Father. Mediation is ascribed to Christ. And when the Holy Spirit is involved, revelation. But here we have, we are called by God the Father. Point two, we are called by God through grace. And God calls by means of the Holy Spirit. We'll not take the time this morning, but you can look at Gospel of John 16:8, Acts 13:2. This is the work of God the Holy Spirit. Believers who say they have never been led by the Spirit, well, you were at your salvation. You responded to this call by faith. Yes. Okay. We're dealing with point two. We're called by God the Father, and that's grace. God calls through the Holy Spirit. Gospel of John 16:8. Acts 13:2. The calling is the work of God the Holy Spirit. Believers who say they've never been called or led by the Spirit, you were at your beginning point of salvation. Point three, we are called through the gospel. We are called through the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Point four. We are called to faith in Jesus Christ. Whether speaking of Paul being called, or you being called, or anyone being called, we are all called to believe on Jesus Christ. We are called out from the world, John 15, and therefore we are the recipients of the hatred of the world. We're hated by the world because we're called out from the world. And this is very important in the study of John 15. Point five. All blessings in your life are a result of your answering the grace call of God. And the only way we can answer the grace call of God is by faith. This is why being called is very important to Paul in all of his writings. All right, our passage says, now God is faithful, to whom you were called. Now, we have in context exactly what we're called into. Into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, we could spend a lot of time, Son, Jesus, Christ, Lord. Now, we have here, you got to be careful here. Let's take a look at it. Into fellowship with His Son. The King James, the NASB and the NIV say, with His Son. The NASB and the NIV, with His Son. The King James says, of His Son. Now, people, this is important. That's why you come to a Bible church. This is important. This is not what Paul is speaking here in 1 Corinthians. Now, if we said, what I'm trying to say is here, we're saying, called with His Son, to fellowship with His Son. That sounds more plausible. But that's not what Paul is saying here. We've got to understand what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 1. He is not speaking about fellowship with Jesus Christ. Unless we translate this, called into fellowship with His Son. But what we have here is a simple genitive of possession. Called into fellowship of His Son. Now, what's the point going on here? What is a fellowship is that? This is a fellowship of His heirship. Fellowship with His sonship. We'll see further that when we look at Koinonia, but right now let's just take this as it flows. Called into fellowship of His Son. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That Jesus is God, and God will always be faithful to His Son. Now, you have to be very careful with the Mormons here. They will tell you things that you'll go, well, they're right on. No, they're not. No, they're not. They believe that Jesus was man and He became God, and we all will become gods. Their soteriology, their salvation, their Christology, their doctrine of Christ is false and evil and dangerous. So you have to be very careful with Scripture. And that's why we have a Bible church here where we study these things to get it clear. To get this very clear. So the best way I know how to translate this is to say, called into fellowship with His Son, called into fellowship of His Son. So those are the two concepts I'm dealing with here. Called into fellowship with His Son is fellowship. Actual fellowship. But fellowship of His Son is we fellowship with the heirship of Christ. We fellowship with the sonship of Christ. See? And we come to Jesus Christ. This deals with Jesus concentrates on His humanity. Christ concentrates on His deity. And then it says, our Lord. I'm not going to go into a long thing. We've already done this. But let's just note one. We do not make Him Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord, without us making Him Lord or not. Point two, Jesus Christ is your Lord at the point of faith in Him as your Savior. He becomes your Lord at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. And three, as you continue to walk in the Holy Spirit, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, He will become the Lord of your life. So, now, are there any questions on the distinctions that we're making here? Into fellowship with His Son, into the fellowship of His Son. Of His Son is the correct translation. We fellowship with, He is the Son of God. We share, we fellowship His sonship. He is heir of God. We fellowship in the heirship of Christ. Not fellowship with Him as in communion. All right, this brings us to the word fellowship. Called us in the fellowship of His Son. The word fellowship is the Greek word koinonia. K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. Koinonia. So let's take a few moments in 1 Corinthians 1 to note some things about this fellowship. 1. The word itself means association. Communion, close relationship, fellowship. God the Father called us by the Holy Spirit through the gospel to have fellowship of His Son. So one of the wonderful things Jesus God can do for us. We're joint heirs with Christ. Joint sonship with Christ. Would you think about this? We're called into fellowship of Christ. Most of the time, believers think in terms of being called into eternal life. But that is only incidental to the fact that we are called to have fellowship of Jesus Christ. And with Him, yes. And with Him. But right now we're talking about what God has done for us. Whether or not you... Well, I've got it written down, so I'll say that. Point two. The concept of fellowship and Jesus Christ must be understood in two dimensions. Two dimensions of fellowship. There is positional fellowship of Jesus Christ, fellowship of Jesus Christ, as we're taking it in this passage. And then there is experiential fellowship with Jesus Christ. I guess the base way of understanding this is a man and woman, when they marry, they join together. They are in fellowship of one another. Now, whether or not they are in fellowship with one another depends on a lot of things. Not throwing things at each other, or being sarcastic toward each other, or shooting each other. I love the series called Snap on TV. About it deals with women who snapped and murdered their husbands or their lovers or somebody, and I just think that's really cool to watch that. And obviously they're married, so they have fellowship of one another, but certainly not with one another. See? So I hope you're getting the difference here. So the concept of fellowship and Jesus Christ must be understood in two dimensions. Positional fellowship, that's fellowship of Jesus Christ. Experiential fellowship, that's fellowship with Jesus Christ. And people, we can give thanks for both of these. We give thanks that we are a fellowship of Jesus Christ and that we can have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, this passage is dealing with positional fellowship. We are in positional fellowship by being joint heirs with Christ, sharing the sonship of Christ. Positional fellowship can never be lost. And you can say amen to that. Not out loud. Positional, well, you know, some churches they do. So somebody did it. Yeah, you're right. But positional fellowship can never be lost. Now, experiential fellowship can be lost, but it can be regained. Point three. We can enjoy experiential fellowship with Jesus Christ. If you will, just look back a few pages to Romans 8:17. Romans 8:17. Verse 16, Romans 8, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit Himself, bears witness with our spirit, our human spirit, that you received by faith in Christ, that we are children of God. And if children, or since, and since children, also, or since you're heirs, also heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. This is very important. We generally think of fellowship with Jesus Christ as a joyful experience. See? But people, our fellowship with Jesus Christ, you can expect to suffer. If you want fellowship with Jesus Christ, not of Jesus Christ, but with Jesus Christ, you can expect to suffer. Tribulation. And we've studied that in our study of the doctrine of tribulation the last 3 or 4 weeks in Romans. So it's very important. Everybody think, oh, it's just wonderful being in fellowship with Jesus Christ, and oh, it's just so wonderful and everything. So, no, people, you expect to suffer if you want to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. We fellowship in His suffering. Because of Jesus Christ, and we're going to suffer because of our fellowship with Him. And people, this is why Romans 5, we exalt in tribulation. Why do we exalt in tribulation? Because of fellowship with Jesus Christ. See? And I want to point out, I don't think I made enough emphasis in that study in Romans 5, but I'll try to correct it. Remember the preposition. We exalt in the tribulation, not because of, not, oh, this is, I love hurting. And I love the, no, it's rejoicing in, exalting in the tribulation, in that we have been chosen to suffer for Him. All right, point four. Experiential fellowship is dependent upon the filling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the filling of the Holy Spirit, plus Bible truth or Bible doctrine of Him. So there's two aspects of enjoying experiential fellowship with Jesus Christ. The filling of the Holy Spirit, which is by faith in the Spirit, and the learning and the understanding of biblical truth, but namely that of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ indwells us for fellowship, experiential fellowship. John 14. Point five. Therefore, experiential fellowship depends on faith, walking by faith daily, living by faith in the Holy Spirit, and growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ in 2 Peter. Now, positional fellowship of Jesus Christ depended on one act of faith in Christ as Savior. But experiential fellowship with Christ depends on our faith, walking by faith in the Holy Spirit and growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Point six. The enjoyment of this fellowship with Jesus Christ is explained in the Gospel of John, Chapter 14, verses 20 and 21. Let's go back and take a look at John 14. John 14. John 14, and let's just read 20 and 21. Now, Jesus Christ has just talked about sending the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, in that day that you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments, plural, what is that? Faith and love, in context, faith and love, and keeps them, walking by faith, he it is who loves me, And he who loves me, fellowship with Jesus Christ, shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him, and here's what I love, and will disclose myself to him. See? One thing about the sacrament or the bond, the institution of marriage is you found that person you will reveal yourself to. See, a lot of people build this wall around them and won't even reveal it to their spouse because they're afraid, if you know this about me, you won't love me. But Jesus Christ reveals himself to us as we grow in the knowledge of him. But you have to grow in that knowledge. It's going to take time. You grow in that knowledge of him. All right, point seven. Fellowship with Jesus Christ. And I'm emphasizing more the with. The context is more of the of, but that's absolute. That's what you and I receive at the point of salvation. But fellowship with Jesus Christ is experiential. So point seven, fellowship with Jesus Christ is like any other friendship in life. It must be maintained. And for us, our fellowship with Jesus Christ is maintained by walking in the Holy Spirit, growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. You have fellowship with some member of the human race, husband, wife, friend. Increase the fellowship by increasing your knowledge of the other person, spending time with them. And we must spend time in the Word, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, let's open the Bibles to 2 Peter. Open your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, and we want to start with chapter 1. And I'm just picking out a few verses. 2 Peter is a powerful chapter. If I were going to have a Tuesday night class, I'd probably want to start not with 1 Peter, with 2 Peter or Colossians. But let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verses 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. So we're not talking about the grace of salvation and the peace of salvation. This is throughout our Christian life. It's going to be multiplied. Now, how's it multiplied? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. People, how do we gain that knowledge? By studying the Word of God. Verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Look at verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. People, I'm going to tell you something. There are people who know this book, know doctrine. They have no vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. They have no fellowship with Him. But boy, they know a lot of doctrine, but they have no fellowship with Him. Now look at chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 18, for the all-important crescendo. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow. How do you grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? You study the Word. Find some pastor that's studying and teaching the Word in truth. See? And you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. And so be it. Point 8. What breaks fellowship with Jesus Christ? Remember that our eternal fellowship with Jesus Christ is just that. It's eternal. Secure. Cannot lose it. But what breaks temporal fellowship with God? Well, what breaks fellowship between you and one another? Sin. Sin breaks fellowship with God. Stop walking by faith. That breaks fellowship with God. Point 9. Very important principle in fellowship, human fellowship, or our fellowship with Christ. Time. T-I-M-E. You have to invest time to really enjoy fellowship with someone. Jesus Christ is physically not here. So if we want to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, it is a time in His Word, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, time in the Holy Spirit, living in the Holy Spirit, walking by the Holy Spirit. But people to have fellowship takes time. You're not going to have it with a hello and goodbye in the morning and hello and goodbye in the evening. Not going to have it. It takes time invested. And this means for the believer, invest time in the study of His Word. Point 10, I want to just comment on cheap substitutes by Christians who do not want to spend time getting to know Jesus Christ through His Word, studying His Word, sitting under someone teaching His Word. So we have all kinds of cheap substitutes, like serving Him. I'm going to sing for Him. I'm going to work for Him. I'm going to give money for Him. See? You ever heard of the father, husband, father? Boy, I spent all my time. I got him a great house, membership at the country club, fine clothes, all the new electronic stuff, fine cars, fine TVs, fine that. He never knew them, and they never knew him. Neither was neither his wife nor his children. He was always, wasn't sinning. It wasn't like he had another affair going on. Just never invested the time. He was always working for them. Always trying to get them something better. Something to improve their life. But he never gave of himself. See? So here's the whole point we're dealing with. Serving Him is a result of fellowship with Him. Serving Him is a result of walking in the Holy Spirit. It's not a substitute. And another substitute is emoting, speaking in tongues. All of this kind of stuff is for you. It's not for Christ. It's not for the glory of Christ. It's for you. And then I've got to be careful. Put this one in quotes. Knowledge. See? Oh, I just want to know more and more and more and more and more and impress people with how much I know. I want to impress them with this and with that. People, knowledge, even in the Bible, is not the goal in and of itself. It isn't a matter, you're going to get prize if you know so much doctrine. If you know so much about the Bible. It's the knowledge is to take us to fellowship with Christ. Let's have fun. First of all, let's have fun and see if you can find Ecclesiastes. That'll be our first fun trip. And then we'll have some fun looking at some passages. Ecclesiastes. And people, a table of content, that's why it's there. That's why it's there. But if you can find Psalms and then find Proverbs, you can find Ecclesiastes. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Just going to note a few passages for fun. Ecclesiastes 1. Did everybody find Ecclesiastes? You find Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 1. Let's look at verse 13. Verse 13. And I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. That's a good motto for your high school kids and children in school. It has been afflicted, given us all this knowledge to afflict us with history and math and science and physics and English and languages and all of that. See? Look at chapter 12, Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes is a great book to have fun in. Ecclesiastes 12:12. Now, This verse is John Hinz's favorite verse in the Bible. In heaven, fine. He tells people, this is my favorite verse. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless. And excessive devotion to books is wearing to the body. So I just thought I'd share with you those bits of knowledge in regard to our study about how you can just, studying the Bible and history and this and that and theology and God and all this. Yes, sir. That he's referring to? That scripture and extra-biblical. Extra-biblical. Okay. Also, you can look at the Gospel of John 5:39 on our way back to our passage. Let's stop at John 5. Now, you do know where John is. I've been in it forever. John 5. Don't comment on that. Just roll with it. John 5:39. John 5:39. You search the Scriptures. That means study them. Because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. People, the Pharisees, they knew the Old Testament so well. I like to point out that they knew it so well, they could take a scroll and then put a pen through it and tell you every word that that pen went through. People, that's astounding. They knew the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, but it didn't get them anywhere. Took them to the law, didn't take them to Jesus Christ. And one final one on this, 1 Corinthians 8. On our way back, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols. Wait a minute. 2 Corinthians, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant. Love edifies. So, the knowledge that we have of Jesus Christ, the knowledge we have of the Holy Spirit, takes us to the Holy Spirit, takes us to Jesus Christ, and we love as Christ loved. See? But people that do not want to spend time studying the Word of God and walk in the Holy Spirit have all these substitutes. So if you desire to have fellowship with God, again, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay, now, before we move on, let's take a look at what all has just been said by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:1-9. Paul is concentrated on all that God has done for these believers in Corinth. Not one word on what they have done with all of the wonderful things that God has done. Not one word about that. And I pointed out to you before, boy, in Thessalonians, man, everybody talks about your faith. Everybody talks about your love. Philippi, the Philippian believers, everybody talks about your giving. And Corinth, they talk about your growth in the Word and your love. On and on. Nothing. Nothing about these Corinthian believers except what God has done. Verse 2, sanctified, perfect, passive voice. You received it. Verse 4, freely given, passive voice. Verse 5, enriched, passive voice. Verse 6, confirmed, passive voice. They received it. Verse 9, called, passive voice. No active voices here about what they've done. All right, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 1:10 now. This is where we start our fun. It's wonderful to know all the blessings that God has done for you and given you, like the package of 34 things at the point of salvation, but what do you do with them? That's what's important. Verse 10. Starting with verse 10, Paul now moves to the first problem in this assembly, and people, there are many problems in this assembly. But he has to take care of this one first. Because if he doesn't take care of this one, this assembly will never grow together. Assembly must be looked at as a one single unit. one single unit, a body, just like the body of Christ. It's in Europe, it's in Africa, it's in America, it's on all the continents. Believers make up the body of Christ. It must be looked at that way. Well, a local assembly must be looked at that way. And so the first thing he's going to address is dissension. Dissension. Let's start off with the smallest unity, a marriage. People, if there is dissension between the man and the woman, going to be in trouble in getting anything done. A family. If there's dissension in the family, it's going to be hard, difficult to get things done. We move to the local church. Small local church, large local church, it doesn't matter. Got to take care of dissension. Now, word of warning. Word of warning. False grounds of unity does not fix the problem. False ground of unity does not fix the problem. If everyone is in unity on legalism, that doesn't solve the problem. If everyone is together on praise and worship, that doesn't solve the problem. Got to have our understanding of where the unity must take place in. So there must be unity, but the bond of that unity must be in line with the plan of God. Okay, let's take a moment now and read verses 10 through 17. 10 through 17, so we can work our way through this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now, after all this discussion of what God has done for you, I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and there be no divisions among you, but you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. Wow! For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, of Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, not each one is saying these things, but some are saying one thing, one, and some are saying another. I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Caiaphas. I am of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, and that no man should say you were baptized in my name. Now I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized any other. Well, there we get to learn some things about the importance of baptism. For Christ did not send me to baptize you, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ might not be made void. Okay, verse 10. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. Wow. People, this is going to require the Holy Spirit. And it's not going to happen without the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's look at the first conjunction translated now. The Greek conjunction is used to join two independent thoughts. It's used to join two independent thoughts. It is used to set up a contrast between all that God has done for them and the divisions in the church. So that's what this conjunction now does. It says, okay, here's all that God has done for you, all that God has given you, all the blessings this assembly has. And boy, we studied some wonderful things there. What have they done with it? So this is what the conjunction does. It sets up a contrast between the blessings of God and the divisions in this assembly. This is so important in understanding this verse. Their agreement, no division, being made complete, being in the same mind and judgment, all these are dependent on all that Paul has already said about them. Okay, now the next thing. Now, I exhort you. King James, I beseech you. NIV, I appeal to you. We have the present active indicative of parakaleo. Well, you just had kaleo. with the word call. Now we have parakaleo. Para means alongside of. Kaleo, the word we just studied earlier this morning, to call, means to call, to comfort. It's where we get the word parakletos in our study of the Gospel of John, referring to the Holy Spirit. Means to beseech, to exhort, to appeal. All of this is in this one word. This exhorting, this appeal by Paul, is based on all that God has done for them. This appeal from Paul is that these believers change their way of thinking. Start getting in line with all the blessings that God has given them. From doing harmful things to the assembly. You're taking all these things I've given you and you're using them to divide this assembly. And please note the present tense. Present active indicative of the calling. The present tense. What does that tell us? It's going to take time. But you can't take care of divisions. We've got problem people with their own little agendas and things. And it can't be solved very quickly. It's going to take time. That's the present tense. Now what I like is the word brethren. I like this. Assembly of believers in Corinth reminds them that they're all related. You're this group, you're that group, you're this group, you have that agenda. Hey, we're all members of the body of Christ. Let's remember that. So he starts off by reminding them that while there are schisms among them, they're all in Christ. One in Christ. Okay. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. People, you come to a Bible church, and I have to deal with some of the things that are going on, just like we did a moment ago with being fellowship with Christ, fellowship of Christ. Well, let's take a look. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the name is the Greek dia, D-I-A, D-I-A. Now, the Greek here is important. If this were an accusative, dia plus the accusative. Okay, if this was the Greek plus the accusative, it would be for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that may sound plausible. I'd have no problem if he had said that. For the sake of Jesus Christ. Let's get like-minded for the sake of Jesus Christ. My goodness. Not for our sake, your sake, but his sake. But that's not what we have. We do not have dia plus the accusative. We have dia plus the genitive. In the Greek, we have dia plus the genitive. And this, listen now, this makes the name of our Lord Jesus Christ the instrument of the appeal. By the authority of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, is what he's saying. By the authority of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see, it would be fine if this was an accusative case for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. I have no problem with that. That's not what we have. What we have here is the genitive, and it's by the authority of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this, look back at Romans 15, just a few pages back, maybe just one or two pages, 15:30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Holy Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. But I just want to show you the basis of the appeal is the authority, the name of Jesus Christ. The clearest way I know how to explain and interpret the Greek here is by looking at two expressions. For the Lord, because of the Lord. That to me is the best way I know how to deal with this. For the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Lord Jesus Christ, or because. because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because is what we have here. See? Here, because of the name of Jesus Christ. Because of Him. Not for Him, but because of Him. See? They may not have the fellowship with Jesus Christ. They may not have that desire of Jesus Christ in them. But He's already used the name of Jesus Christ some 10, 11 times now. The whole basis of their calling. The whole basis of their confirmation, being confirmed as Christians, is in Christ. So what He's saying is, because of that name. See, if I knew, if Paul knew that every one of these believers had the truth of the knowledge of Jesus Christ in them, and were, had maybe just experienced fellowship, and these things are up, then say, hey people, let me tell you something. For Jesus Christ, for the Lord, let's get together. And you would sit there and you go, yes, I love Him. I love Him. I want to do this for Him. But they don't have this understanding yet. They don't have this teaching. So He says, because of. See? I guess there's so many different ways to try to communicate to you the importance of this. It'd be like saying, because you are an American, do this. That's different than for America. It's just a different emphasis given on these different ways of looking at things. So it's because of Jesus Christ, people, that we are to walk a certain way. Now, for Him is fine, but they're not ready for Him yet. They have to do it because of Him. See? I was growing up. Get out of line. Why, Mom, why? Because you are mine. Well, everybody else's mom lets their kids go. Everybody else can go. Everybody else can do this or that. They're not mine. You're mine. And because you're mine, you can do it. Then as we started growing up, we wanted to act a certain way for our mom and dad. But you learn that because you're mine, you're not going to do that. Well, I'm not so sure I want to be yours. Yeah? And I've said it. But you know that old lady that reared us? Didn't bother her at all. She didn't change. And she, oh, they don't love me. She just came in. Said, you're going to pay for anything you break. See? So that's the difference. Because you're mine, you're not going to do this. Then as we start going for my mom, for my dad, I'm not going to do this. Because I love them. So there's a growth factor here. Because of Jesus Christ, we're going to grow in the Word. Because of Jesus Christ, we're going to act a certain way in the assembly. And then as we start going, it'll be for Jesus Christ. See? But we have to learn these in our process of growth. All right. And by the way, but because of the name of Jesus Christ, the point here is that these divisions in this local church of Corinth are not in keeping with the one name, Jesus Christ. They have all these divisions because they're not occupied with this one name. Through the authority, or by the authority, because of the authority of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the name Jesus Christ, people, is used as profanity by the world. I know I've told you many times, but I can take a lot of things in movies. And there's a lot of stuff that they have to put up with in a good movie. But boy, what just shoots through me is when the actor has like Jesus or Jesus Christ. And I know they don't even know why they're saying it. I know why the writer doesn't know why he put it in there. But I know, and it cuts me. People, this name should be sacred to us. This name should be holy to us, precious to us. Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. I love this. And let me tell you why I love this here, our Lord. It doesn't matter how pitiful these Corinthians are, Paul associates them with the Lord. I love this. So much for Lordship salvation. It's out the window. These are a bunch of scoundrels here in Corinth. Jesus Christ is still their Lord. See? He's still your Lord. Even when you're in sin, He's still your Lord. Even when you don't act like He's your Lord, He's still your Lord. I love this. So Jesus Christ is their Lord. They're having divisions and splits and problems and schisms and all this stuff going on and sins and legalism and those who want the law and all. Jesus Christ is still their Lord. Jesus Christ, His name reveals His person and His work. Jesus Christ reveals His person and His work. Three things. One, Paul now exhorts them on the basis of their position in Christ. Paul now exhorts them on the basis of their position in Christ. Two, by virtue of being in Christ, we all have the glory of Christ possibly, potentially in us. And then three, if a believer understands the Word of God, understands his position in Christ, his purpose in the spiritual warfare, he doesn't have time to cause trouble in the local church, in the local assembly. It's too important. Okay, now we have the makeup of a good congregation. What's a good congregation look like? Each requires the Holy Spirit. That, here's what Paul urges them to do. Due to their position in Christ. Not for Christ, but because of Christ. You all agree. The King James, that you all speak the same thing. Now the word order is important here, and it's different. In the Greek, it's important. It starts out, the Greek starts out with, same thing. The same thing. What's the emphasis? Bible doctrine. Understanding the truth of Scripture. The same thing means the truth of Scripture. The truth of Scripture or doctrine is placed first to show how important the learning of doctrine is, how important the thinking of doctrine is. Then it says, the same thing, same doctrines, you speak. Present, active, indicative of the verb lego. Looks like this. L-E-G-O, lego. Okay, let's note a few things. One, just on this word that you speak. The same doctrine you speak. One, this word is used over 1,000 times in the New Testament. So the nuance of the word depends on the context. Two, distinct from another word translated to speak, laleo. L-A-L-E long O. Lego, laleo. These two words are different. Laleo is close to over 300 times in the New Testament. Laleo primarily refers to the actual sound or pronunciation of words. Just that you're speaking. Blah, 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 blah. You ever tune somebody out? They just... Okay. Now, our word, lego, has more reference to the meaning of the substance of the words. The substance of the words. Their connected sense. The development of thought. Now, a good place to kind of grasp that these are different words and the meaning is important, let's turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 3. We have both words in one context. And that's always a good place to look at things like this, where you have two words like this in the same context. Same verse. Okay. And he spoke. Lego. Lego. That means continuity of thought. Continuity of thought. Lego. And he spoke many things. What is that? Doctrine. Teaching. To them. For their advantage. In parables. Saying. Now this is laleo. Laleo. Behold, the sower went out to sow. Okay, now what's going on here? He's teaching them doctrine. That's concentration on thought. But now he's just going to give them a lot of words in a parable that they're not going to get. They're not going to get it. We know that from Matthew 13. Disciples come, why do you speak them in parables? Why don't you just lay it out there? So, you see how the words used here kind of give you a different idea. He wants them to understand the truth, but then he's going to teach them in this lego, just teaching words of a parable. You can look at the Gospel of John 8:43. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? The root of laleo, that's our word, meaning the content of thought, connected thought. The content of the word is because it depends on what is being said. Why? And in that John 8:43, might as well turn to it. We've got closing down here in a minute. I was trying to hurry up and get through more, but let's look at John 8:43. Why do you not understand what I am saying? Laleo. The connected thought, content, the doctrine. Is it because you cannot hear my word, lego? Lego. Just these words. They're not listening to the laleo, to the concentration of the thought. Why do you not understand the thought, the doctrine that I'm saying to you? See? That's what I want you to understand. Now, point three. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, Alfred Plummer, P-L-U-M-M-E-R, points out that this is taken from Greek political life. From Greek political life, where it was a call to be at peace. Paul is calling not so much for unison as he is harmony. Harmony. Four, another place to see this call is in Philippians 2. Let's open your Bibles to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. All right, Philippians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Think the same thing. Say the same thing. Same mind. But I want you to note verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. So, being of the same mind is not just doctrine overall general, but the thinking of Jesus Christ Himself. Verses 6 and 7. And this is the thinking of Christ that should be our thinking. We should be of the same mind. Who, although he existed in the form of God, superior, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. People, this should be our attitude. Should be our attitude, especially when you have the overall understanding of the primary purpose of the local assembly. Have this thinking in you. It's not about me. It's not about my agenda. It's about this whole assembly getting to where God wants this assembly to be. See? And then continuing verse 2, maintaining the same love, this is spiritual love from the Holy Spirit, united in spirit, that is united in soul, intent on one purpose, that is the glorification of Jesus Christ. And finally, point five, and we'll close with this. Note the present tense. Keep on doing this in the assembly. Keep on doing this. The active voice, he finally gets to an active voice. This is what you should be doing. The fact that you have to first know the truth in order to speak the truth. And then the all-important subjunctive mood. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. I love what we're doing on Wednesday night right now. I feel Wednesday night, last Wednesday night, and this Wednesday night are so fundamental to just basically understanding the whole Bible, not just John 16. It is so important understanding the imperative mood, understanding how these things are put forth for us. So we'll resume here that you all agree next Sunday morning. Any questions on what we did this morning? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. First of all, Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this assembly right here. We're thankful that you see fit to use us in so many different ways. The internet, publication, missions, young people, and our basic assembly right here, fellowship and encouragement of one another. And Father, we want to study these passages and be exhorted by them, be directed by them, be challenged by them in our own assembly here. Father, we pray you'll take these things we've seen this morning, cause them to become a reality in our soul and in our lives as we interact with one another. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.